On the 17th page of Luke's report about Jesus' life, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." That sentence might not mean a lot to you. It's kind of like if I say, on our way to Hana, the road from Paia to Kenai was surprisingly rainy. Did I tell you that our family just got back from a trip west? Did I mention that? Okay, I just couldn't remember if I said that detail or not. So Jesus is heading to Jerusalem with his guys. They're on the border between Samaria and Galilee. Mapping in the Middle East means little to us 2,000 years later, but to Luke's first readers, that line was important. They know where that is. They know what that means. They understand Jesus is trekking through some pretty rough neighborhoods. Luke 17:12 says, "As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" So Jesus pulls off the main road. He's heading for a gas station in town. And on the off-ramp, he spots 10 guys standing there on the side. And when they see him, they all start yelling, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, help us, boss, please help us, help us, help us." Leprosy is a really messed up disease. Like COVID, from what I've been told, is very bad at the end. If you have COVID, it is hard to breathe, it is painful. From those who die from it, it is ugly, it hurts. But leprosy is exactly the opposite. In leprosy, you lose feeling. You can't feel anything anymore. The way God built your body, where pain warns you that something's wrong, the more leprous you get, the less you can feel in your body. And you can cut yourself and not even know that you're bleeding. You can get infections and not be aware of it. Your fingers, your toes, your ears, your nose falls off eventually because your skin dies, but you can't feel it and you don't know it. Decays, it rots, eventually it detaches. Until finally, you have no defenses left to things that can kill you, and you die. I saw a cartoon on Thursday this week, a cartoon of a turkey who was looking at his phone, and he was looking at the weather app on his phone, and the turkey's weather app said, "Today's temperature, 350 degrees. And the turkey says, "That can't be right." When the calendar reads Thanksgiving, turkeys are done. In Jesus' time, if your test came back saying leprosy, you were done. You just were. And it's going to take a while. And sorry, but you've got to leave everything you've had behind. No more family, no more job, no more friends, no more fun. You're done. Except you have to sit around and watch your body fall apart first. Literally, fall apart. After caring for a colony of lepers, one doctor said, "Leprosy is the devil's dirtiest trick. It's ugly. And it's communicable. It spreads. If people with leprosy touch you or eat with you or sing near you, you can get it on you," which is why they had to, by law, socially distance a half a football field away from everyone for the rest of their lives, always. And if anybody got closer than that by accident, you had to yell, you had to scream warnings to get away. You had leprosy. The law back then did not require masks, but all lepers wore them because leprosy left your face hideous. Skin disease are awful. They rob people suffering from skin diseases from human contact. People aren't allowed to be with each other. They aren't allowed to touch each other. Some skin diseases make it hard to look at the person. Not the fault of the person with the disease, but they suffer for having the disease. That is really true of leprosy. It was a very bad thing. It still is, which is why Jesus is such a good guy. Do you remember this time? Luke records this back on page 5 of his record of Jesus's life. Months earlier, when a man in that same region who was covered with leprosy approached Jesus, came right up to him, fell down before him, and begged Jesus for help. He said, "Lord, if you're willing, you could make me clean." And Jesus reached out, do you remember what he did, and touched the man? And he said, "I am willing, be clean." And instantly, the guy was good again. Jesus told that man, "Don't tell anyone, just go get a new inspection sticker from the priest." But of course, everybody found out what had happened because this guy was a well-known leper in the area. He was the most famous leper, and now he wasn't. Because somehow, some way, for some reason, apparently Jesus knew how to fix leprosy. What do you suppose other people with leprosy thought when they heard about that guy? Right? So when Jesus pulls into a quick fill near them a couple months later, 10 lepers immediately show up, immediately loudly jumping up and down, waving signs, begging Jesus to help them. Verse 14 says, when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. These guys start walking towards the temple because Jesus told them to go see the priest. The priests back then were also the doctors. And if by some miraculous chance your leprosy really wasn't leprosy and it somehow went away because it was not leprosy, it was something else, and you got well, God had given the Jews a law that said only a priest could reinstate you into society as safe. New York State has similar rules these days. If you traveled to a COVID-infested land, none of the states which touch New York State are COVID-infested lands, but all the other ones are. And if you travel to one of those states, and if you want to come back into our state, you have to provide a positive proof of health. So last Sunday, Linda and I left the church building we were visiting. Have I mentioned we went on vacation recently? We were visiting, and we headed over to a drugstore parking lot in Kihei, and the COVID priestesses there, two very nice young ladies, tested our claims to be without COVID. And sure enough, last Sunday, we both came up green, which means we are COVID-free. When we came back to the Rochester airport and were met by several National Guard soldiers at 11:30 at night, we showed all our green, clear codes on our phone, and they said, oh, welcome back in. But ever since that day, New York State has sent us texts. Every day they ask us if we're feeling well or if we have had a fever, and we write no. Or if we've had a cough, no. Or if we had shortness of breath, no. Or if we had diarrhea, and we think, ooh, no. Don't ask that question. And I am happy to say, as of yesterday at 4:15, we tested again and we came up green again. So Linda and I are still COVID-free. Jesus said, you guys go take the test and you will come up green. I have a footnote here. Jesus said, go take the test and you'll be good. Walking to where the priests were to be tested by them did not heal these guys of the leprosy. Jesus healed them of their leprosy. But unless they trusted Jesus and did what he told them to do and went to the priest, they would not have been healed. Gifts that Jesus offers us are gifts. They are absolutely free. They are things that we could not earn. We did not have to earn. He's willing to give them to us. But in order to take his gifts, we have to take them. To accept them, we have to get them. Do you remember the Syrian commander guy in Israel who caught leprosy? That Syrian guy back in 2 Kings 5, and Elisha told him that God would heal him if he went under the water 7 times. And the Jordan River didn't heal Naaman, God did. But Naaman had to trust God and accept the gift as it was offered. When God offers you something, if you do not accept it, you don't get it. You have to take it, end of footnote. So these guys, trusting Jesus, that he could heal them. When he says, go check, you'll be good, they take off. And on the way, their leprosy disappears. Whoa, it disappears. J.W. Shepherd describes it like this. He says, now it happened that in going, they were cleansed. Their confidence in obeying the order of Jesus proved the occasion of their immediate cure. The dry scales fell from them. The white spots disappeared. A healthy color returned to their flesh. Their disfigured members were restored. A thrill of new life coursed through their veins, and with exceeding joy, they perceived they were made whole. These guys felt good for the first time in a very long time. They could sing, I feel good. Luke 17:15 says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And why wouldn't he? Jesus had fixed what was broken in his body. Jesus had literally saved his life. Of course this guy is going to be gushingly grateful to Jesus. Friday night, my son was driving home on Route 444, coming from Bloomfield up into Victor, when a deer ran in front of his car, and Jess hit it hard, so hard that he caved the hood of the car back into the windshield, and the airbag went off. So we have now lost another car to a crash. And on the phone, when he called, he said, I'm all right, Dad, and he seemed okay. But when I got there and I saw the car, I hugged Jess so tight and thanked God for sparing my son's life again. A trooper had fortunately been right behind him when it happened and pulled in and protected Jess from wandering into traffic. The trooper, when I got there, said he seemed a little shaken up. Maybe I should keep an eye on him. And I said, yes, sir, we will. Thank you. If your son's life is saved, if your life is saved, actually saved, would you not be grateful? This man, condemned to die alone of leprosy, was clean. He was good. He was alive again. Of course he ran back and fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him and praised God. Of course he did. Luke mentions that the guy was a Samaritan. That's another whole sermon. But let's just say, whichever side of the mask issue you're on, I don't know, there are two sides of the mask issue. Either you think they are a boot to the necks of a populace of quivering sheep by power-hungry taskmasters, or you think masks are one of the easiest, most efficacious means of saving millions in America from dying and the only compassionate thing to do. Those are the two sides. Whichever side you're on, if you have a general disdain for anybody who isn't on your side, then you have a good feeling on the inside of what they thought about this guy, this grateful guy, who turned out to be a Samaritan. Are you kidding me, a Samaritan? Jesus helped somebody on that side of the mask issue? Are you kidding me? That was hard to swallow, that Jesus would heal one of them, or that one of them would come back and say, thank you. But that's not this sermon. This sermon is about being thankful, which this guy was. He was very thankful, and he said so a lot. He was so, so, so thankful. And you think that Jesus would say, good job on being thankful, guy. Gratitude is the right attitude. Nice one. But Jesus doesn't. He doesn't seem happy at all. In fact, Jesus kind of goes off. In Luke 17:17, it says, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Did you hear that when they told the 7 dwarves that we can now only meet in groups of 6, one of them wasn't happy? Jesus doesn't seem real happy to me here, does he to you? I mean, I agree, the degree of thanks that you express should depend on the degree of niceness given to you, right? If someone holds a door for you, a simple thank you will suffice. If somebody gives you really good service in a restaurant, a 20% tip is appropriate. But if somebody makes baklava for Thanksgiving dessert, you should take her to an island somewhere, right? Jesus had given these guys their lives back. Like recovering from ventilator COVID grateful they should be. And only one of them comes back to say thank you? When I heard this story growing up in Bible school, when I was taught this story, I always thought, what the heck? And I don't even say heck. As a kid whose mom really valued us saying thank you all the time for everything, I did not like these 9 guys. Where'd they go? Why didn't they come back and say thank you? But as I got older, I thought of some things. There are reasons why the other 9 might not have gone back to say thank you to Jesus. Like, maybe one guy hadn't seen his wife and kids for 30 years and he could not wait to get back to his house and greet them. Or maybe one guy had friends, good friends that he wanted to share the story of his good fortune with, and he ran to find them. Or maybe one of them hadn't been healthy for so long, and now he felt so strong and virile and vibrant, he immediately ran for the nearest pickleball court and played all day. Or maybe one of them had a job that he just lost a couple months ago because he just got leprosy, and now he doesn't have leprosy, and he wanted to run back and see if they'd hire him back. Or maybe as they went, maybe one of them wasn't really sure that it was Jesus who did that because he got better after he left Jesus. Maybe it just happened to be a coincidence. Maybe it wasn't really Jesus' fault. Why should he say thank you? Or maybe one of them was kind of glad that Jesus had helped him now. Yes, he was thankful for that. But what about all those years that he had lost? Or maybe one of them said, well, yeah, he cured my leprosy, but he like, it's a long way to the temple. He could have given me lunch for the trip there or something. Where were the other 9? We don't know where they went, but we do know where they aren't. They did not come back. They are not thanking Jesus. And according to Luke's record, that disappointed Jesus about them. He'd given them an amazingly wondrous gift, and they didn't even say thanks. The bums. Last week, while I was eagerly awaiting the start of Willowbrook's live stream Sunday morning, I got to watch some of Liverpool's church sermon. And Wayne Wagner said, when it comes to Jesus' followers, the exact opposite of healthy is entitled. The exact opposite of healthy in Jesus' followers is a feeling of entitlement. He said, if you claim to follow Jesus but you feel entitled, Wayne said, you're confused. And I thought, that sounds right. We are blessed people. We are lucky people. We're good, but only because of what Jesus did for us, does for us, will do for us. It's all on him. On our own, we mess up. We've messed up. We would mess up. But with Jesus on our side, God sees us as clean and holy and healthy and able and growing. People who think they're owed anything in life, people who feel like they're owed everything, that's not like Jesus. He gave up everything so that he could come here and help people. Entitlement and schmeitlement. Healthy people are thankful for everything we've got. I thought, that's a good point. Then Willowbrook kicked in, and I got to watch Joe do his best Godfather impersonation. And I got to hear Paul sing a song, and Stephanie said we should be grateful for everything that God gives us outside. And Sarah said helping people who don't have a lot helps her appreciate more what she has. And Jason Somerville spoketh with flair. And Cheryl recounted God's many kindnesses to our church throughout this pandemic, and Mom played the piano, and the Prezes led music, and Grant led communion, and Paul said, thanks for helping, let's help again. And while this is happening, if you're watching on Facebook, you guys know this, you can write little notes on the side to people. And I spent the whole thing with a running commentary, which I'm sure nobody really appreciated as much as I did. But I really enjoyed that part. That was a lot of fun. And then, after it was done and Joe dismissed me, he said, I could go. The sun rose. Where I was, the sun rose. And I got to go out and play on a pickleball court for hours. And I got to go snorkel some with my wife. And I got to go worship with other congregations. And I got to go hang out on a beach all day. I had a great Sunday. I had a great day. It was great. It was so great. It's one of the best days ever. Around 7:15 that night, Jess and I decided we're going to head to our favorite vacation restaurant. We walked up to the restaurant at 7:40. They would go from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. So we walked up at 7:40, and we're laughing, and we're telling stories, and we're taking pictures, and we're having fun. Did I mention we were just on vacation? Did I say that we were traveling? Sorry, yeah, we were. It was great. It was the end of a beautiful day, and they seated the two people at the door who were waiting there as we walked up, and we waited for the hostess to return, and we stood there for about 3 or 4 minutes just waiting. Finally, she came by, and she said, we're done for tonight. There's a restaurant around the corner. They're open to about 8:30, I think, and she turned her back and walked away. And I looked at their clock, and it said 7:45. And I looked at their sign hours, and it said 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I was really looking forward to eating there that night. And she summarily dismissed us. And that was that. We were not eating there. And it was only 7:45. And I was so mad. I mean, ridiculously mad. Posted hours should mean something. People make plans. Hours should mean something. I turned and walked away angry. Jess hesitated before following me. And I heard him tell the lady, thank you. And that made me madder. And he walked over to where I was, and I said, we stood there for a minute, and I said, well, that sucks. And I don't even say sucks. I felt robbed. I felt violated. I felt cheated. I felt like they owed me. I was fuming mad. And as we got in the car and drove away, as we drove down a beautiful road in a beautiful car beside a beautiful ocean after a beautiful day, this thought came to mind. The opposite of healthy is feeling entitled. And then this thought, what just happened back there might be the stupidest I've ever been in my entire life. God convicted me of my sin, which is always embarrassing when it happens, but I know if I don't own it immediately, I won't be able to get better. So I did. I admitted all of the wrong that was just in my heart, and that came out to Jess, and I asked his forgiveness for not reacting right and not being a better example as his father, and he said, that's okay, Dad. And we went and we ate at another great restaurant that we love while we're on vacation. And you know what I figured out on a recent Sunday night while I was on vacation? I know where the other nine are. They are wherever I am. Sadly, I am they. And every time I take for granted all the great stuff that God has given me, and he gives me lots, so lots. He gives me such favor as to be embarrassingly lots. Every time I do not thank him wildly for his daily kindnesses, every beauty that he adds to my life just because he's nice and he loves me a lot. And every time I think that somehow I deserve that, that I was owed that, Jesus is thinking, oh boy, John, we've got quite a long ways to go. And the amazing thing is that he wants to go that way with me, however long it takes. For which I am today, right now, in a moment of clarity, very grateful for. Last line of the story in Luke's account, Luke 17, 19. Then Jesus said to the ex-leper, rise and go, your faith has made you well. One guy said, nine received benefits through Christ. One received Christ through his benefits. The one did better than the nine. So we've just spent a month studying scripture about gratitude, talking about gratefulness, singing songs about giving thanks, praying with thanksgiving, having a holiday about this whole thing. We have been practicing being thankful. Practice makes you more perfect. That's all good. So how about this? Instead of telling you that you should be thankful, I am going to make you thankful. Do you remember, sometimes I tell parents, never tell your kids to say they're sorry. Don't tell your kids to say they're sorry. Have you ever seen one sibling smash another sibling and the sibling's crying and the mother comes out, the father comes out and say you're sorry. And the one who did the smash and said, I'm sorry. Yeah, you really taught something right there. Good job. Don't make them say they're sorry. If you want your kids to learn something in that moment, don't make them say they're sorry, make them sorry. And then they have a chance of actually learning something in that moment. So, I'm not going to make you say you're thankful today. I'm going to make you thankful. You can practice thanking God for all his good gifts, including this one starting right now, right here, bottom of page 5, short sermon today, the end.